Today we're still on the Sermon of the Mount, and it's going to take us to the end of the year, but we're going to finish chapter 6 today. And the title of my message today is, Don't Worry. How many of you ever worry? Okay, well, don't. Now, if you can capture that, we'll just shut up and go home right now. Not really, I'm just kidding. I love to talk about Jesus. But the challenge to us is, through the Word of God, is not to worry. And Jesus, He takes a number of scriptures here from 25 to 34 in Matthew chapter 6 to encourage us to stop worrying about this life. Stop worrying about things in this world. You know, it's not worth it. Because what does worry do to us? What does unforgiveness bring? Torment. What does fear bring? Torment. What does worry bring? Torment. So unforgiveness, fear, and worry, it all breeds torment. And how many of you like being tormented? Absolutely not. So we want to get rid of the worry, amen? And so once you stand today, we're going to read out of Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34. I'm going to read this way because I can see it. Shirley, where are you? Pull back that curtain. All right, beginning at verse 25, it says, Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one more cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will not He much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have come in here today, Lord, and many, Lord, have already declared that there's things that we do worry about. And I pray that today, Father God, that we would take our worries, take the cares of the world, and Lord, and that we could give them over to You, and Lord, and that we would seek first Your way of doing things and Your way of being right, Father, that You know what we have need of, and that, Lord, we believe that You'll meet those needs. So, Lord, I pray that worry and fear would be just gone from this house today and out of our lives, and Lord, that we would learn to pray and seek Your face. Father, we give You praise. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is a powerful declaration about God's provision, for the provision for His people. This is vital for all of us to learn this. Because, as you're going to hear in a few minutes, worry is just not good for us. You know, but there is a hinge to this whole sermon. And it's in one word. Therefore, last week we talked about you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. If money is your focus, therefore you will worry. If money is not your focus, therefore I believe you won't worry. If your trust is in the Lord, you won't worry. You believe and trust in Him. And it just depends on what lens your eyes have. Remember, He said, is your eye dark? Or is it light? So what is coming out of you? What are you looking at? What are you feeding your spirit with? Do you trust in the Lord? Either we trust in God or we don't trust in God. We can't, you know, we can't be on the fence with it. We have to trust Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Amen? And you know what? Little kids do this easy. You know, when my grandsons lived here and they were, you know, born and being raised, I'd put them on the stage here and I'd tell Nehemiah, I'd say, "Come on, jump to Papa." And he'd be like, "I don't know, man." You know, you can see that look on his face like, that's a big jump. What if you miss, you know? And finally, you know, I'd get, and he'd run and he'd jump. And I'd catch him, and he'd be like, "Wow!" And he'd run back up there, "Move back, Papa." You know, I'd be like, "Whoa!" You know, and then jump again, and then it's like, you know, then he won't stop. Just jump, jump, jump. And I was in China one time, and the first time I ever went to China, and we had like 110 house church pastors in this small place, and they oversaw a group of people of 350,000 believers, these 110 leaders. And this guy, he was in the army. He was a captain in the army. And he picked me up and he twirled me around in a circle and put me down. And everybody went, "Yeah," you know, they cheered him on. So I picked him up and I twirled him around in a circle. Oh my gosh, you would have thought I was playing with a room full of kids. Because everybody started jumping into my arms. I was twirling people in circles. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm getting dizzy," you know, because everybody wanted me to twirl them in a circle. It's just, you know, they just totally just released themselves to just flow with it. And then as we just played, it was crazy. Men, women, man, I'm twirling them in circles. And finally I stopped and this lady, she gave me a high 10. Bam, I hit her hands. And the power of God hit right then. That lady went flying about 10 feet and landed on a couch. The power of God showed up. And they all went like this. We were having fun and we were laughing. And they all went like this when that lady went flying. They went like this. That means they want me to touch them right there. That's all. They just, everything stopped. Just touch me right here. That's all they wanted, is to be touched by the Lord. And you see, when you just surrender to the Lord and you become like the faith of a child, amen? And that's what was happening that day with the Chinese. They just had the faith like the child. And God showed up in such a powerful way. And this joy filled that place to where they were laughing and they were breaking off the oppression and people started getting healed and miracles started happening just because they just said, "We're just going to worship the Lord, man." And they had a blast and it's incredible. And that's what happens when we just surrender to the Lord. We put our trust in the Lord and we take our eyes off of our situation. I'm sure if I asked you to raise your hands, there's a lot of situations in this room today. There's probably a lot going on in your lives, whether it be in your relationships or your jobs or your homes or whatever. There's things happening in this life that are tough right now. And our flesh would say, "It's okay to worry. I'm going through a lot." But the Spirit would say, "Don't worry. God's got this." So what are we going to trust in? Because that's what matters. And Jesus tells us five areas, and He only brings up five, but I know there's probably more things that we worry about. But the first one, He says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. How many of you have been worrying about your life? You know, I talked to like my mom, who's been in a battle. And I asked her this morning, I said, "Mom, you worried?" She said, "Nope." I'm like, glory to God. I'm not worried. I know God's got it. Amen? God's got it. Don't worry. But don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body. Don't worry about what you put in your body. What you're going to put. Are you going to have enough to eat? Let me tell you what the word worry means. It's a verb, meaning it's an action. It means to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts. So, to worry, you are tormenting yourself. It's not, Enrique, it's not the enemy tormenting you. You're tormenting yourself when you worry. worry. Because you've got your eyes focused on you and your issues of life, and so you get caught up in them, and so you start tormenting yourself in your worry instead of giving them over to Jesus. Now, how many of us have ever done that? I think we all could say, yes, we have. You know, if we're honest, we could. But worrying about temporary things, it's useless. Listen, this life is temporary. Amen? Who's the oldest person in here? Sal? Okay, Sal must be about 87 then. Because I know my brother Joe is a little older than that, than me, so... Hallelujah. So we probably... Joe, how old's Joe? 89! He's got you beat, Sal, by a couple of years. Praise God, Joe! 89. He knows how to handle it. 89. Hallelujah. 89. You don't get to be 89 by worrying your wife life away. Amen. Philippians gives us an idea on what to do with our worries. Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. It says, don't worry about anything. Everybody say anything. But pray about everything. Pray about everything with thankful hearts. Open up your prayer request to God. Amen. Then, everybody say then. Because you belong to Christ Jesus, God will bless you with peace that no one completely understand. And peace will control the way you think and feel. See, because if you're worrying, then you're not walking in peace. But when you stop worrying and you start praying, you start trusting the Lord, He's going to bring you such peace that people will go, how can you be calm in this situation? How can you be calm? I mean, to the outside world, it looks like your world's falling apart. How can you be at peace right now? Because I know Jesus. I have a confidence in Jesus. And when you have a confidence in Jesus, He says He's going to give you peace. Hey, that's going to control the way you think and feel. How many of you know your feelings aren't always right? When we were younger, you know, and Delonda, she'd go out and she'd do something, you know, spend a lot of money or something, and she'd know when I got home that I was going to say something about the amount of money she spent. So she would, she'd be worried about what I was going to say when I got home. She'd be so worried that she, by the time I got home, she would be so mad at me because of what she thought I was going to say. I'd walk in the door and I'd think, oh my gosh, what did I do? It had nothing to do with what I did. It was just worried about she was worried about what I might do. See, worry leads to torment. And so when we start praying, you know, this peace comes and it controls the way you think and the way you feel. It brings your emotions into check, amen? And that's what we do. We need to do because we get worked up about a lot of things that haven't happened yet. A lot. And people are worried about this and worry about that. But in Paul's letter here, to the Philippians, he stresses the need for prayer over worry. Not just prayer, but prayer with a thankful heart. Man, I'm telling you, our Friday night prayer meetings are exploding right now. You want to get in the presence of God, you want to destroy worry, you come on Friday night at 7. It is incredible. And this is what brings peace. Joanne, I almost fell asleep, man, when you said sit down and rest in the Lord. I'm like, all right. You know, just peace just comes because I'm not worried about anything. But I want to show you a clip right now. You'll see it real good. Thank you, Shirley. But I want you to see this. This is from the War Room. Listen, if you haven't seen the movie, you need to see it. And she finally gets to the point and she's tired of what the devil's been doing to her and her family. And she takes authority over it.
I don't know where you are, devil. But I know you can hear me. You have played with my mind and had your way long enough. more. You are done. Jesus is the Lord of this house. And that means there's no place for you here anymore. So take your lies, your schemes, and your accusations and get out in Jesus' name. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my daughter. And you sure can't have my man. This house is under new management. And that means you are out. And another thing, I am so sick of you stealing my joy. But that's changing too. My joy doesn't come from my friends. It doesn't come from my job. It doesn't even come from my husband. My joy is found in Jesus. And just in case you forgot, he has already defeated you. So go back to hell where you belong and leave my family alone.
Amen. Amen. You see, when you get tired of what the enemy's throwing at you, it's time to start praying. Amen. And I'm not talking about just a little bit here, a little bit there, but there is power in prayer. I'm talking about getting intense prayer life, developing your prayer life to the point that the enemy can't hang around you anymore, that there can be no more worry, no more fear, no more doubt, but a confident expectation in God's promise, provision, and character, amen? Because that's what hope is. And my hope is in the Lord, amen? When my hope being in the Lord Jesus, I don't have time to worry because I know God's got it, amen? God's got it. And we need to really make the verb, instead of worry, we need to make the verb prayer. Prayer. And it's not just, if you just come once a week on a Friday, that ain't going to do it for you. Man, you need to be praying every day, seeking His face, having a relationship with Him. Because the devil doesn't just hit you one day a week. He'll hit you every day of the week if you let him. He will come at you. So there's a few things in this passage today that I want to point out of who we are in Christ. What we can attain in Christ Jesus, so that worry can really go out the window for us. And number one that I want to point out to you is that there's more to life than food and the body and clothing. Now, they didn't have cars and they didn't have all these fancy stuff that we have today. I mean, even our homeless people have iPads and phones and stuff, because I see them, they're plugged in our church out here. I'll come up and I'll say, hey, how you doing? You know, is there any way I can help you? No, I'm just charging my phone, or I'm charging my iPad, you know, and I'm like, you're living on the streets, man. You got a phone and an iPad, and we're rich in this nation, amen? We shouldn't be worried about it. And listen, you never have to worry about food. Valerie, where are you, Valerie, so I can talk to you? All right, there you are. Valerie gets so much food, man. She gets Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, she's got food. On our food bank, we're giving 5 to 6 bags of groceries away a day. She's picking up food, pizzas, burritos, salads, sandwiches, so much stuff Monday through Friday. She's back here around 3, 4 o'clock unloading. There is so much food. She took food to the Coptic church up here in Norco, and the pastor owns an apartment building. And the Egyptians that are coming over, the Coptic Christians, he's helping them, you know, gives them a place to stay so they can get on their feet and get going. And Valerie took food, and they fed 150 people the other day. Yeah. Amen. Fabulous. Amen. God is just, so, you know, we don't have to worry in this country. Our homeless people are in the top 10% of the richest people in the world. We don't have to worry. But what do we worry about? Well, man, maybe I won't have to have that. I won't be able to have that car. I won't be able to live in this fancy house the way I want. But God knows what I have need of. Amen? He knows what I have need of. So why Why worry about what I'm going to wear? Psalms 23, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I shall not want. I don't want because the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. When I submitted myself to God and I recognize Him as my provider, as my shepherd, because that's what the shepherd does. He provides for who? The sheep. And what are we? Sheep. He provides. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then you go into Nehemiah 9, 21. It says, 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Everybody say nothing. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. Listen, their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. He gave them food every day. He rained it down from heaven. Food every day because they sought the Lord. How are you doing? How are you seeking the Lord? Because that's what matters. That's the thing that He's calling us to seek after Him first. But if you're caught up in what you don't have and where you lack, I'm telling you, my people shall not lack, says the Lord. Amen? He says in Psalms 34:10, the young lions lack and they suffer hunger, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Any good thing. And you have to discover for your life, what does it mean to you to seek the Lord? What does it mean to seek the Lord? And then are you doing it? Even the world has an idea about what it means to seek the Lord. The world has an idea of what a Christian should look like. Because you go out into the world and they'll say, well, a Christian doesn't do this and a Christian doesn't do that. The world has an idea. But yet, if we're doing the things even the world thinks a Christian shouldn't do, are we really seeking after the Lord? If we walk around and worrying and crying and fretting over things, that was the other word on the worry, is fretting, to fret. You know, if that's us, and the world looks at, and all you talk about is your issues and your problems when you're out at work or with your friends or with your family, they're going to say, man, aren't you a Christian? I remember my sister, she was at work one day, and her boss told her that he was a Christian. And she looked at him and she said, no, you're not. And he's like, well, what do you mean? She says, my brother's a Christian, and you're nothing like him. See, the world has an idea. My sister was raised in church, but she doesn't come to church but once in a while. She's not in seeking God like we're here today doing. So, you know, the world has an idea of what it means to follow Jesus. What is your view? What is your view? What does it mean to you to seek the Lord? All your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Because that's what He's called us to. Is it just to show up at church once a week and say, well, that didn't work? I'm listening to the rain. Told you I was going to make it rain. We've got to get out of the mode of doing things our way and do things God's way. Seek first God. Amen. Number two, you are valuable. He said it in there. He said, the birds of the air, man, they don't store up, whatever, but I'm always providing for the birds. He says, don't you have more value than the birds? You are valuable to Jesus. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you are valuable. Amen. You are valuable. This is why Jesus came and He died on the cross. See, the great thing about it is you were created for value in Jesus Christ. And I say that because before you were formed, He died for you. Before you were born in this life, He died for you. Jesus made a way for you to have life and have life more abundantly, even knowing the sins we would commit. Even knowing the things we need to be delivered from, Jesus said, I'm going to pay the price for them. Because you know what? You are valuable to Him. He loves you. You have value in the kingdom. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and He has made us kings and priests. Hallelujah. To His God and Father. To Him be the glory, dominion forever. You are kings and priests to the Lord. You have value to Jesus. Amen. You are valuable. In Colossians 3:12, it talks about the character of the new man in Christ. And it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, you are the holy and beloved of God. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, you're holy. You're holy. How many of you are perfect? We got a couple. We're going to have a water walking thing after the service right here. Peter wasn't perfect and he walked on water. Amen? We're holy and beloved of God. You're holy. Jesus loves you. That's the promise to us. You are the holy and beloved. And he says, because you're holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Basically, let the fruit of the Spirit just flow through you. Amen? Even before we were born, though, Christ died for us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it declares, look at your neighbor and say, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. That was the words of Christ. But then he says, you are the light of the world. Amen. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You're the light of the world. You are to let your light shine. Amen. You don't hide it. Now, when Jesus was talking about this, I heard that where he did this sermon on the mount, that there was a city on the hill right there. And he pointed to the city on the hill and says, you're like that city up there. You can't be hidden. You're a bright light. Everybody sees you from far off. That should be us. Amen. We are the light of the world. People should see, wow, the light has come. Because Jesus is in you, amen. You are so valuable to Jesus that He made you light. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You're not only the light of the world, but you are His son. You are His daughter that is holy and beloved of the Father. Amen. You are valuable to Jesus. You are so valuable. And when we begin to see the value we have in Jesus Christ, we start abandoning the things of this world. We start abandoning our way of doing things. And we start walking in the things that Jesus has called us to because we have such value in the kingdom. Amen. And as I saw in my life, man, I used to work 60 to 100 hours a week out in the world. I had a job. For a while, I had my own business. I worked 60 to 100 hours a week. Man, I always worked. And for a while, I worked full-time at the church and full-time at my business. I always was just doing something. I love doing business. But listen, you can't get ahead in this life if you take the God factor out of this life. I don't care how hard you work. If you're not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you will not get ahead the way you think you should be. It's going to be like, well, I make more money than I ever have, and I got holes in my pocket because I don't seem to have anything. When I was younger, I first married, I'd go to work at 1 in the morning and I'd work till 6. I'd come home, I'd eat breakfast. I'd drive to Orange County and I'd go to work at 8. I'd work until 5. I'd drive home from Orange County and I lived here, right in these apartments right here at that time. And I'd come home, I'd leave there at 5, get home 6, 6:30. I'd eat dinner, say hi to my wife, go to sleep for a few hours, get up, go to work at 1 to 6, 8 to 5. Seemed like I could never get ahead. Finally, my boss in my 8 to 5 job, he says, you know what, I'm going to give you more money. I'm going to let you work as many hours as you need to for you so that you can be with your family. I'm like, wow, God made a way for me. But listen, you can work all you want, but if it takes you out of the house of God, you're not going to get ahead. the way you want. You're going to worry. And everything you gain, you'll worry about losing. You'll worry, well, how am I going to keep this? How am I going to have that? Because when you take the God factor out of it, you take the peace away. Man, everything becomes about worrying. You worry about, well, who's going to, you know, how am I going to keep this job? How am I going to, if I don't do this, how am I going to have this? If I don't do that, how will I have this and that? And it all just accumulates into worry. And worry leads to what? Torment. There's no peace in it. The thing that I know, and this is number three, your Heavenly Father knows all that you need. He knows the things that you need. Amen? And like I said, I can't tell you how many people I've seen, you know, get into that mode of working 6 and 7 days a week to keep what they have, to gain more, to never had enough. They did an interview. I was at a conference on Thursday with Dave Ramsey. And the lady was talking about people and their finances. And they asked the person, well, if $50,000, you know, they said, you make $50,000 a year, do you consider yourself wealthy? They said, no. And they said, well, what would you consider wealthy? Well, if I made $100,000 a year, I'd be wealthy. So they went and found a group of people that made $100,000 a year. They said, hey, so are you wealthy? Are you rich? And they said, no, we don't consider ourselves wealthy. And they said, well, what would you consider wealthy? They said, well, making $200,000 a year. You know, and this went on and on. But everybody doubled what they made to consider themselves wealthy and rich. And it didn't matter how much they made. It's never enough. Because if we don't have Christ, we will not find satisfaction in this life. We will not find the peace. We will not find the rest that we need. It will never be enough. There will always be more to attain, more to try and grab, more to hold on to. But I'm telling you this right now, if you're forsaking the kingdom and you're just grabbing it, whatever you can get, what did Job say? The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What are you going to do when it's all gone? You can't take it with you. That's what he said. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money, because you're going to hate one and you're going to love one and despise the other. This doesn't mean that you don't work, because I still work hard. Every day I'm up coming and working and seeking His face, doing my job here at the church. I built a pond this week. Hallelujah. Made it rain. Me and Tim, where's Tim? Tim's usher. He's guarding a door for you. But it doesn't mean you don't work. It just means that in your work, you make time to worship God. Every day, you seek His face. Like that lady said, man, she's not taking it anymore. She's not putting up with it. It's amazing how much we'll put up with before we get tired of it. Remember last week I talked about the Laodicean church. Revelation 3:17. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You see, when we're going after money and we have what we need in this world, we think we've arrived. Remember, you know that saying, he who dies with the most toys wins? No, he just leaves an inheritance for everybody else, and he wasted his life. It's not about what you can gain in this world. It's about what you gain in Christ. And we do that by, number four, seeking first God's way of doing things and His way of being right. Amen. God wants to be your number one. He wants us to come under His way of doing things. He wants us to be loving. Amen. To really love people. To really be patient with people. You know, I watched the tea yesterday and the people signing in and everything. And sometimes people get a little cantankerous. When you know, Delonda makes me call out the tables for the food. And it cracks me up because some people are like, hey, what about my table? I just put their names in a hat and I drew them and I wrote it down. That's how I do it. But be loving, be kind, be generous, amen? Be generous to people. You know, as a church, we are generous. Man, Valerie's blessed with all this. We are helping as many people. We take it to the VA. We take it to the people that the veterans, and we give them food so they can feed our veterans. And you know what they're asking us for? And you might want to start saving your money, because I'm going to let you know, we're going to take an offering for it here in the future. We're going to buy them a big refrigerator like what we have. We want to bless that veterans so that they can bring that food in there and they can bless the veterans with it so that they're not lacking. Amen? These are the people that laid down their lives for us so that we can have church like we're having today. And so we're going to take an offering in the near future. I'll let you know next Sunday when we're going to do that. Amen? So that we can bless them. I bought that refrigerator out there for $3,700, and that was a fine. It was free shipping. Came from back east. Boy, they didn't know. Free shipping came out here, $3,700. And we're going to buy one for the veterans coming up. We're going to bless them. Valerie asked me, is there any way we could get them a refrigerator? I said, yeah, we could do something, man. We could get that money and get it for them. Be generous. Our food bank on Fridays, we don't just give a bag or two of groceries. We give like 5 or 6 bags of groceries. Because once you start giving, it keeps coming in. She's got so much food coming in. She's trying to figure out, what can I do with it? She gave to the Coptic Church, like I said. She gives to the veterans. She gives to the senior center down here so that the seniors got food. You know, we're just trying to give out as much as we can. And when you give, what happens? You receive. It just keeps coming back. And so Valerie's not complaining, oh my gosh, I got all this food, what do I do? She's rejoicing. Lord, you're blessing. And that's what happens when you're generous in the kingdom. And then be humble, be prayer-minded, prayer mindset. Be kind and faithful and patient. And most of all, have self-control. Amen? And lastly, I think I said it firstly, but lastly, love. Love, love, love. Let love be at the front of your heart and mind, on the tip of your tongue. This is the fruit that comes as a result of seeking after God that He puts in us. This is us being that light. It's us being holy and beloved of God. Amen? But the promise is, when we do things God's way, He will bless us. I've seen many people come and serve in this house. Come from the community and start serving in our food ministry. And after they're serving in our food ministry, they end up wandering into the doors to find out what we're all about. And they find Jesus. And they start, but they're serving so hard and so intently in this house that God blesses them with a job. God bless them. Valerie's like, oh man, I lost another worker. And I'm like, well, what happened? She said, they got a job. I said, well, that's something, you know, we should rejoice about, that they got that job, you know, because they come and they serve. And that's what happens when you seek first the kingdom of God, doing things His way. Amen? His right way. When we do that, God will bless and multiply back to you. But if we don't, we're going to worry. We're going to be tormented. We're going to be self-centered. And we're not going to be a bright light. Remember when I was a kid, that song we would sing, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." Amen? That's the idea. But it takes seeking after God first, and everything else in this life being second. Is it a challenge? No. Not once you make up your mind to do it. Margarita made up her mind to do it a few months ago. She's in everything. She's in Celebrate Life on Tuesday. She's in Wednesday night Bible study. She's at the Friday night prayer meeting now. She's here every Sunday. She's like, I made a commitment. Going for it. She goes, I don't know what's different this time, but there's something different. And the difference is, Margarita, is you surrendered your heart. And when you surrender your heart, it just comes natural. It becomes a part of who you are. I got to seek the Lord. It becomes a part of who you are. And then you see God start moving on your behalf, and you're like, man, Jesse, why didn't I do this all the time? What took me so long? Isn't it what you said? What took me so long? Because when you seek after Jesus, there is nothing like it. Nothing compares to Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And listen to this. No one is going to heaven without Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your Word. I thank You, Jesus, that You're showing us the way. You have led us down this path, Lord, to be righteous, to be holy in the beloved of God, to be the light of the world. You have found value in us, Lord. Lord, at times we have felt worthless, we felt lost, confused, even shame, Father God. But Lord, You have knocked all the shame off in Jesus Christ. By the power of the blood of Jesus on us, working in us, You have given us hope, a confident expectation of Your promise, Your provision, and Your character. And I pray today, Lord, that You just wash over us today. That, Lord, that we would find freedom today in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and there's just been some things that you've been worrying on. Maybe it's your relationship. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's just your life. But you've been worrying. And you're saying today, I want to move out of that mode. I believe that we're to do a prophetic act today. I believe that you're just to come. If you know you've been worrying, just to speak that worry into your hand and come and lay it on the altar today. Just lay it down today. So why don't we stand? If you know you've been worrying, if you know worry has been a part of your life and you're saying, I'm done with it. You want to be like the lady on the video we've seen today. I want you to just speak what you've been worrying about into your hand. And I want you to just have enough guts and be courageous enough to come today and just lay it on the altar. Just let go of it today. Say, I'm done with this. Come on. Y'all raised your hand that you were worrying when you came in. So you got some stuff you need to leave here at the altar today. So just come and leave it here today. Don't take it home with you. Speak it into your hand and just throw it on the altar. Let's just give it, you know, like she said, we're not even going to give it to Jesus. We're going to tell it, go back to where it came from, amen? Go back to where you came from in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just give our worries over to back to the enemy today. Lord, we surrender our lives over to You. Lord, we make a commitment today, Father, that we're not going to worry any longer. We're not going to be controlled by the situations of this life, Father, but we give them over today and we surrender our lives to You. We tell that worry to go back to the pit of hell from where You've come. And we surrender our lives to Jesus today. And we pray that today that You would fill us overflowing and abundant. Lord, You know our situations. You know the cares that we came in here with. And Lord, we surrender them to You today. Everybody say, I surrender. Lord, truly, we just want to seek You. Your way of doing things, Your way of being right. And I pray today for every man and woman and child in this place, Father God, that, Lord, that today would just be a beginning of a new way of doing things. Lord, Your way. That, Lord, that You would put it in our hearts to pray and seek Your face. That, Lord, that You cover each person here today. Cover our minds. No more torment in the name of Jesus. But Lord, Your perfect love cast out all torment. Your perfect love cast out all fear. Lord, worry be destroyed today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just surrender it all. And Father, I pray for protection. I pray blessing upon the people of God. That Lord, that You, in Your power, in Your might, would just fill us today. That we would have the confidence of who You are in us to not worry anymore, but to pray. Lord, that we could develop our own war room in our own homes. And we would begin to pray and seek your face like never before. Break off the old things, Father, the old ways we've been doing things. And put it in our hearts today, Lord Jesus, to seek your face. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a big clap.